Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. This comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also one of the founders, and the senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. They have services every Sunday at 9 a.m., beginning with Sunday school, and the worship service begins at 10 a.m. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. They have noon Bible studies at the location, and also you can call this number to listen to the Bible study live. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. You can catch them on YouTube, on Facebook, and their website is comingtothelight.org. Comingtothelight.org. So I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
And oh, the over. mountain, you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Love. He said, no shadow you won't light up. Anybody been in some dark places? No mountain you won't climb up. That speaks about pride. How high in your life have you been? No wall you won't kick down. Talks about a hardened heart. Putting up all these barriers of protection because of being rejected, being abused. No lie you won't tear down. Anybody ever been lied on? Been talked about? Been made the subject of conversation? But still, you give yourself away. Reckless love, meaning that whatever the danger is, I'm still gonna do all that I can do in order to save you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for going into those dark places and calling me out into your marvelous life. Thank you for knocking me off of my high horse, the high horse of alcoholism, the high horses of fornication, the high horses of pornography, the high horses of stealing. Thank you for kicking that wall of being rejected, of being abused, and thank you for tearing down the lies, the accusations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The overwhelming, the never-ending, reckless love of God. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world, we didn't have to do anything. But because he loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus, hallelujah, to die on the cross for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Hope your week has been blessed so far. A lot of people have been planting seeds this week because of tomorrow, Valentine's Day, February the 14th. Tonight at midnight, I'm going to share this. Tonight at midnight, it will be 33 years since my wife and I met. Some of you already know that we were high school sweethearts. 33 years. As a matter of fact, last night she showed me a poem that I wrote to her when I was 16 years old, just turned 16. And the title of it is Love Is. Love Is. And it's interesting that she showed me that poem because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Amen. So let's get into the word. Coming out of the book of Hebrews, the first chapter. Somebody said, well, aren't you going to read it? No, that's between me and her. I love. Hebrews, the first chapter, starting at verse 1. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Bible, amen? And it reads, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. Also, by and through whom he created the world and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. I want to read that one again. It's talking about this son, this heir. Jesus, verse 3 says, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Now, I wanted to put emphasis on the word nature. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, remember last week we spoke about how he laid his life down and then he rose it back up. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt. Thank you, Father. He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. That's where Jesus is right now. Taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name or title which he has inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. For to whom or which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you, established you in an official sonship relationship with kingly dignity," with kingly dignity. When I think about that, I see someone wrapped in a purple robe with the crown on his head, with a scepter in his hand, walking in his authority. Glory to God. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. Moreover, when he brings the firstborn son again into the habitable world, he said, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Referring to the angels, he said, "God, who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire." But as to the Son, he says to him, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. To the ages of the ages, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of absolute righteousness, of justice and straightforwardness." Verse 9 says, "You have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness in purpose, thoughts, and integrity. Therefore, God, even your God, Godhead, has anointed you with the oil of exultant joy and gladness above and beyond your companions. And further, you, Lord, did lay the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hand. They will perish, but you remain and continue permanently. They will all grow old and wear out like a garment, like a mantle thrown about oneself. You will roll them up, and they will be changed and replaced by others. But you remain the same, and your years will never end nor come to failure. Besides, to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand, associated with me in my royal dignity, till I make your enemies a stool for your feet'?" Last verse. Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants, sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? I want to read verses 1, 2, 13, and 14 in the King James. Verse 1 reads, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoke unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 13 reads, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I want to go to Galatians. Galatians 4th chapter, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. And it reads, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Emphasis on work. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6 says, and because ye are sons, and because ye are sons and daughters, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son and a daughter. And if a son and a daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. The title of the message this morning is Love is in the Air. Love is in the air. But the word air is not A-I-R. It's H-E-I-R. Love is in the air. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, man. Thank you for waking us up this morning to see another beautiful, gorgeous day that you have made. For we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for Holy Spirit, and thank you for you. Thank you for allowing us to come into your presence once again, Father, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you would have to say to us, to equip us, to make us ready, to prepare us to encourage us, to remind us of who we are as your sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Love is in the air. This is the, as some people say, the month of love, the month of February. We're going to talk about the word love this morning. But let's talk about the word air. Air, H-E-I-R. What is air? Heir is one who inherits or is entitled to inherit property. Now, it's said over in Hebrews, God has made Jesus heir of all things. It's his inheritance. An heir is one who inherits or is entitled to succeed to a hereditary rank, title, or office. The highest rank, the highest title, the highest office, place that someone can achieve in this earth is not the president, is not a king or a queen, but a son and daughter of the Most High God. That's the highest title that someone can have on this earth. To be called a son or daughter of the Most High God. Heir is one who receives or is entitled to receive some endowment or quality from a parent or predecessor. God said, he's wrapped us in his royal dignity. So we are ambassadors for Christ in this earth. We have authority. We have power. But it says quality. So we also have the sole expression of the glory of God. The perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. That's who we are as heirs in the kingdom of Almighty God. We're kings in this earth because Jesus is called the King of Kings. He's also called the Lord of Lords. He's the high priest, but we're also called a royal priesthood. Glory to God. So I wanted to lay that foundation. Love is in the air. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8, starting at verse 14. Love is in the air. Romans 8, verse 14, and it reads, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, I want to point out something. Ladies, women, my sisters in Christ, don't be offended by the word son, because God does not see us as we see each other in the natural. When we see the word son, it's always capitalized. So who he see is his only begotten son in us. That's who he sees. So when we see the word son in the Bible, it's not just putting emphasis on a male, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, in the first begotten of the Father. I just wanted to point that out. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, this word sons is not capitalized, but it is plural. So like I said, though it says son, it speaks of the human race. Those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Somebody should have shouted right there. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. The hope of the creature is in vanity, is in things, is in money, is in houses, is in jobs. That's their hope. Verse 21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Now all things have become new. He's no longer a creature hoping in materialistic things, but his hope now is in Almighty God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So the earth and the creatures in the earth are crying out, are moaning and groaning, weeping, waiting and hoping for the manifestation of the sons of God. You are the answer to the question, why is there so much hate? You're the answer. Why is there so much hate? One of the most quoted saying is, all we need is love. All we need is love. Let's talk about love. What is it? Who is it? Where is it? Why is it so important and such a need? Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John, not St. John, 1 John. Go to Revelation and turn back. 1 John, the 4th chapter, starting at verse 7. And it reads, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Actually, I want to start at verse 4. And it reads, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All we need is love. Why is there so much hate in the world? They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So there's the answer. Why is there so much hate in the world? It says it right here. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So that's why it's so much hate in the world, because so many people are not born of God and does not know who God is. One phrase, one saying, that we've all heard, and all of us have probably said it. We are all God's children. That is not true. We are not all God's children. We are all God's creation. But those who are his children are those who have been adopted into his family as sons and daughters by accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who is also our elder brother. That's what makes us sons and daughters, children of God. I just wanted to point that out. Verse 8 reads, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Remember, I said God sees his Son in us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Glory to God. If God loved us, the mess that we were in, the lives that we were living. That word in that song that we heard, Reckless Love, one of the verses was, "When I was your soul, you gave your love to me." When I was your foe, when I was your enemy, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. I want to read that one again. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Why is there so much hate in the world? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit, his nature, his character, his personality. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, as Jesus is, in heaven right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, in his royal dignity, in his authority, in his power, as he is, so are we in this world as heirs, as ambassadors, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? That's personal right there. Glory to God. I felt that. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. God is love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. What is love? First Corinthians 13th chapter. Verse 1 reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So whatever I'm saying, all the chitter chatter, if it's not done with love, it's nothing but noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Everything that we do, if it's not done in love, it means nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I give to the poor. Yeah, but your heart is far from God. You give it grudgingly. Here, Go get a job. Go take a bath. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, there shall fail. They shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. It's interesting that Paul used the word charity here and not the word love. Charity is benevolent goodwill toward or love of humanity. That's what charity is. If you have charity, you have love. You are love. Generosity of or helpfulness, especially toward the needy or suffering, is aid given to those in need. So whatever situation you're in, on your jobs, in your home, at the grocery store, at the post office, the complaint that you hear, you are the answer. Because love, God's perfect love, covering a multitude of sins. God is love. What else is he? Let's turn to Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. Actually, we go to Psalm 8. Psalm 8 and 1. And it reads, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Psalm 36 and 7 reads, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalms 150 and verse 2 reads, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now, one word we just heard in those verses is the word excellent. Excellent means superior. Very good of its kind, eminently or to the highest degree, first class. Now, Hebrews 1 and 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What's that excellent name? Heir. H-E-I-R, heir. Love is in the air. The word love, L, means letting, O, others, the view, E, excellence. Letting others view excellence. That's who we are. We are to spread the excellency of God in this earth. We are God's love. Love is in the air. God bless you. Love you. Go and spread his love. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for showing us who we are in this world. Heirs of salvation. Joint heirs. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, Father, use us for your glory as we go into this world and spread your love, spread your excellency, letting others view excellence. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. God bless you. Love you. And happy Valentine's Day. Love is in the air.